very warm welcome to you, ICB Bible Training. Today I will talk about how leaders trust their workers. But first of all, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us, Lord, that we can come before you to learn your word, that we can walk in your ways, and that we can adhere to your commandments, that we can obey your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Be in our midst and guide us in your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you also for this opportunity that you have given us to hear your word, and may your word bring fruit 30%, 60%, and 100-fold, Lord. We give you all glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I also welcome you to those who are watching us online. So today my topic would be how leaders trust their workers. So how actually leaders trust their workers and not using force. So let's see what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. Paul says to Timothy, "I remember your sincere and unqualified faith, the surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ, with confident trust in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith which first lived in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am confident that it is in you as well. That is why I remind you to fan into flame the gracious gift of God, that inner fire, the special endowment which is in you through the laying on of my hands and with those of the elders at your ordination." So here we see how Paul charges Timothy to guard or to protect his trust. Who was Timothy? Timothy was Paul's spiritual son, and Paul valued him so much, and that he actually records the faith which Timothy's grandmother Lois had, and also his mother Eunice had. So Paul was actually confident that the same faith which his grandmother and his mother had would lie also in Timothy. So Paul reminds here to fan into flame the gracious gift of God. That means the inner fire, the special endowment through the laying on of hands from Paul and from the elders of the church. We see here that Paul has been an example to Timothy. He says not to be ashamed to testify about God or about Paul. Timothy was a well-trained by a great leader, Paul. A leader who trusts his disciples. Paul never forced his workers to do something out of their will, but rather he set an example by himself. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11, to imitate him as he imitates Christ. So we are called to be imitators of Christ and to be an example to others, to show Christ through our character, through our words, through our actions. And, you know, mostly children at a young age, they actually learn through what they see rather than what they are being taught by their parents. They see their parents, what they do, and they learn through that. So, likewise, leaders are also meant to set an example to their followers through their character, through their actions, through their words, and most importantly, through their trust. Our greatest leader, Jesus Christ himself, set an example to his disciples, to us. He trained them through influence. So let's consider Jesus right now and take down some important points in which he influenced us to be leaders. I would like to consider a few points. Number one, starting from service. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, didn't come to be served, rather he came to serve. And he gave his life to many. He humbly served people. He humbly served others by putting the needs of others before his needs. He truly showed how to be humble. So the perfect example of humility is actually Jesus Christ. So through Jesus' example of humbleness, leaders are called to lead with humility by putting the needs of the teams first and serving as a role model. Number two, integrity. Jesus was upright. He was honest. He was transparent, not only in his words, but also in his actions. Through this, the leaders can learn how to be truly men of their words. When a leader says yes, it's a yes. When he says a no, it remains a no. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, let your yes be yes and your no be a no. So let's learn through Jesus how to maintain our words, how to adhere to our words. When we say something, let's mean it. Number three, vision. As leaders, we all must have a clear vision for our team. This vision, I would say that leaders should have a long-lasting vision and a clear vision for our team to go. Jesus had a vision, rather, to bring many to faith. And even until this minute, millions come to faith and millions accept him as their own personal savior. And leaders need to have a vision which rather lasts for generations. It is also important that the leader is able to effectively communicate his vision to others, to his team. Number four, accountability. Leaders are actually called to help one another. They are called to encourage one another. They are called to be there for the team members. So if one of the team members falls down, he's supposed to make him get up. And we, as leaders, must hold ourselves and our workers accountable for achieving our goals and helping each other along the way. Number five, empathy. As leaders, we must be able to empathize with our team, be able to understand what the team's problems are, when somebody has a problem, we must be able to understand him, talk with him, spend time with him, and just to understand their unique perspectives and needs. We must be like-minded, compassionate, and humble. Through such values, leaders are being a role model to their workers and build trust with their team. The Bible is full of examples where leaders trust their followers. For example, we see how God, being the greatest leader, trusting his servant Noah to build the ark, and how Noah actually acknowledged the word of God and he obeyed what God said. Even though to many Noah seemed to be a maniac, to them he seemed to be out of his mind, but God allowed him to work and he waited for the outcome. So God was patient with Noah. So leaders actually also called to trust their workers, to give a work or a duty to them, and to work and to wait for their outcome, to wait upon them until they shine in their work. A true leader hands over a job and waits to be carried out instead of constantly asking for feedback or checking up on the results. As workers, on the other hand, we are also called to not to break that trust, to be obedient to your leader and to carry out the orders or the work which has been appointed to you. So likewise, we also see how God trusted Moses to bring his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, to bring them into the promised land. And we also see here how God prepares and equips Moses. And it actually ran into a span of 40 years. He prepared Moses for a period of 40 years. And sometimes trust was needed for such a long time. And I would like to highlight that trust isn't something to be taken lightly and something to be misused. Trust takes time to build, and once it's broken, it is very difficult to rebuild it, and it takes sometimes a very long time. Understanding is also another factor to be considered. Leaders not only trust their workers, but they also understand them. They understand their limits, their borders. This happens also through a relationship between the leader and the worker, where the leader shows interest and is simply there for him in times of need or in times of necessity, and likewise the worker sharing his problems. So there is mutual understanding between the leader and the worker. So trust and understanding actually go hand in hand, and both of them are of great importance. Also, leaders watch over their workers. When workers commit mistakes, sometimes shortcomings happen, we are all humans, leaders are called to correct them in a humble way and to guide them in the right path. When leaders correct their workers, the workers must adhere to the leader's correction and respect it. It is respect and it is discipline. It is something that the leader does good for you. So this is a matter of trust. If someone isn't obedient, the leader is called to discipline him. And this rather happens also in church, unfortunately. But the leader is called to discipline out of love, out of humility. And through this, the leader gives strength to the very worker. He upholds him, he motivates him, he allows the worker to shine and gives time to him to work and to do the appointed duties. He understands him. He doesn't use force, but trust in him. And finally, he sets an example how he can be trustworthy. So leaders, trust your workers. Discipline them, because discipline is important. And a shepherd or a pastor, he corrects his sheep when the sheep walk in a wrong direction. So leaders, shepherds, pastors, they're called to discipline their workers. Workers, listen and obey and trust your leaders. They're showing you the right way to go. I know that this was a very short but intense topic. I just pray that it will bring you fruit, that it will be of great importance to you, to those who are under leaders, and leaders, carry out your duties as God has called you. And we are called to always look upon Jesus, because he is our greatest leader, and we will be accountable one fine day to the gifts that he has given us, to what he has appointed us. So we will be called, we will be chosen, and we will be accountable for the things that he has given us as leaders. So leaders, trust in your workers, and may the Lord give you more and more wisdom to guide your team, to guide your workers, and workers trust in your leaders. May God bless you, and may God guide you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that many of your workers today, they heard your word, that they were able to listen to your word. I pray that you will bring fruit in their lives. Holy Spirit, guide them in this week, and be with them, Holy Spirit. And I thank you and give you all glory to you, Jesus. In your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.